Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Victory Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks for being here and celebrating Victory Monday with us. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, and give those five-star reviews. Helps the channel a ton. We are going to get into everything today. Had the opportunity to rewatch the game. It was a beautiful day for the Green Bay Packers, and I am so excited to break it down for you. First and foremost, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, The True Maggot, Samson Jose, Sunnyverse, Mark, Kylie DeVoe, Meeper, William Saunders, Mac, T-Tizzle11, Mexi, and Bart Houston's Flak Jacket, also new All-Pro member, Titletown T. Thank you guys so much for signing up. But let's get into the recap right away, because I just want to go through some of my initial thoughts and takeaways from this game. There was certainly a ton of anticipation going into this game. What would the Packers look like? What would the Lions look like? It's a big NFC North game. We know, going back to last year, that big games, NFC North games, Detroit Lions games, were a little bit of kryptonite for Green Bay in 2024. We also know that starting fast in those games was also a major issue. In fact, more often than not, they started very slow in those games. We had sincere questions about the interior of the defensive line for Green Bay. Would the secondary be able to hold up? And just what would this 2025 Packers team look like? Yes, you have Micah Parsons now in some capacity. We didn't know exactly how much he was going to play, but how do they look in totality? Is this a team that looks like they can be a contender, or is this the same thing that we saw a season ago where there's some really good, flashes and some good moments, but not a great team consistently that can hang with the best of the best? And pretty much every question that you could have possibly posed to the Green Bay Packers ahead of this game was answered with a resounding positive response. They looked fantastic. It wasn't perfect. There's some things that they can certainly clean up, and on rewatch, you saw some of those things as well. But my goodness, you could not have scripted a much better game for Green Bay on offense, on defense, and on special teams. A real three-phase win. The offense was good enough to win on its own. That's a 27-point performance. That's a winning performance. At least it should be. I get we saw a 41-40 game, right, on Sunday Night Football, but 27 should get you a win far more often than not. And on defense, you allowed, 13? And 7 of those were in garbage time, complete garbage time, no chance of winning time. That's a complete winning performance on defense as well. Now, outside of a couple penalties on special teams, you would also, I think, give a very passable grade to the special teams in this one also. This one felt like a pretty complete domination from beginning to end to a team that has been one of the best teams in football over the course of the last couple seasons. I talked about it in the offseason. The only game that you can look back at last year and say, like, yep, that was a real good win for Green Bay, the closest you can get is the Houston Texans. All their other big games, it never quite went according to plan. It never went the way that you wanted it to. And it was ultimately a disappointment. And this was the exact opposite. This was how you would have drawn it up, getting contributions from players, offense, defense, special teams, the starters, the depth pieces. It just felt like everyone did their job really, really well. And we're going to get into the offense, the defense, the special teams, the miscellaneous takeaways, so like all of it today. But just a shout out to Matt LaFleur for having this team ready. We know week one is a bizarro week, right? You don't have a full preseason and these guys are playing their first real snaps of the season. You just never quite know what to expect. Matt LaFleur had this team ready to play. Shout out to Brian Gutekunst, the Micah Parsons, who we'll talk about quite a bit. That trade, you could feel the energy with this team, with Micah in the stadium. It was real. It was tangible. It felt like something special all throughout the game. The pop for him coming out of the tunnel, the pop when he made his sack, it was a special day at 1265. One of those days where if you had the ability to be at the stadium, it was a pretty epic experience. And of course, even just watching it at home was pretty amazing as well. And you go and watch the rewatch and you're never quite sure, is it going to feel it? It felt awesome. It felt legitimately awesome going back and rewatching that game and seeing it again. And it felt every ounce as dominant as it did in real time. Like I said, we're going to break it all down in much greater detail. We'll start things with our Luigi's Pizza Packer of the game. You may have noticed I did not say the Luigi's Pizza player of the game. I've got to give this to Jeff Hafley. It's interesting because I thought Jordan Love played well. Did have a couple passes that were, I think, turnover worthy. Well, one for sure, another that was actually intercepted, but you know, got a little bit of a bailout on a holding call there. That pick six, no holding call, no penalty. That could have changed things pretty significantly there. I thought it was a good day from Jordan. We'll talk about that, but couldn't quite get to the player of the game just because of a couple of those decisions there. Josh Jacobs, of course, struggled. There was no wide receiver that really dominated. It was spread out. The wealth was really spread out through the entirety of the offense. And then on defense too, like you could name multiple players, Edgerrin Cooper, Micah Parsons, Devontae Wyatt, Rashawn Gary. We can go on and on. There's multiple people deserving, but when you look at defense and the fact that there are multiple people deserving and that they shut down Detroit all throughout the day, I just have to go Jeff Hafley on this one. I thought his game plan was outstanding. They had answers for everything and they weren't afraid to play a little bend but don't break defense in this one. And there's always a little bit of hesitation to do that sometimes. It can have its cost. Detroit had a big chunk of the middle of the game where they were dominating time of possession. Like they had the ball through a huge chunk of it because they had the ball and then Green Bay scored in two plays and they had the ball again. And it was the snaps were starting to add up for the defense. But they had answers for everything, and especially in the red zone. You know, three red zone possessions when the game was in the balance that resulted in six total points. And it wasn't until a complete Herculean play by Ezek Tesla where he goes up and makes an unbelievable catch. Tip of the cap to him. It's not until that in complete garbage time that they get their first and only touchdown on the board. And it just didn't even remotely matter at that point in time. I thought from beginning to end, this was a defense that was flowing to the football, playing fast, playing physical, communicating extremely well. I've got to go Jeff Hafley in this one as my Luigi's Pizza Packer of the game. Next, let's get into our Habish and Rotier injury report. There's always two games that go on. I talk about this all the time. There's the game itself, and then there's the game of attrition. What did it cost you throughout the course of the game? When it comes to injuries, it usually is going to be the case. You're going to have a couple guys get banged up. Green Bay had four in this game. Zach Tom, the big one with a hip injury. Hopefully it's nothing significant. He was on the exercise bike after the injury. They had a pretty big lead at the time, so maybe they were just being cautious, but we'll keep an eye on that one this week. Bo Melton left with a shoulder injury. He did not return. Aaron Banks left with an ankle injury. He did not return. Brenton Cox left with a groin injury. He did not return. So four new injuries in this game. Again, Bo Melton, Aaron Banks, Zach Tom, and Brenton Cox. You also had at least, we know Nate Hobbs was inactive with the injury, right? I think it's safe to assume that Zane Anderson was also out with an injury, that he would have been active if he was ready to go. He's such a core special teamer that it's hard to imagine he wouldn't have been active. And then Baron Sorrell is the one that we don't quite know for sure. It's possible that, you know, there's going to be a defensive end deactivated every single week right now, but just because they don't need that many. You know, you've got Parsons, you've got LVN, you've got Brenton Cox, you've got Kingsley Enagbare, you've got Rashawn Gary. So you've got five. You're not going to activate six. So it's tough to tell if Baron Sorrell would be actually injury related or not, or if it was just him was, or he was the sixth inactive in this game. But those will be the injuries to keep an eye on this week. Melton Banks, Tom Cox, and then Baron Sorrell, Zane Anderson, and Nate Hobbs. The other inactives in this game were Ben Sims, Donovan Jennings, and Warren Brinson. Sims isn't a huge surprise. You know, I don't think they're going to need four tight ends more often than not. Donovan Jennings, you're going to deactivate one of your offensive linemen. You only need eight throughout the course of the game. And then Warren Brinson, was, I think, a little bit of the surprising one. Not that he was the fifth guy. With Stackhouse, he just gives you a little bit more of a run defender. Although Stackhouse only played like 8 or 9 snaps on defense in this game. But I thought they would activate all 5 of the defensive tackles. You know, we now know that Savion Williams is doing some kick returning, but I would have thought that they would have went with 5 defensive tackles over 6 wide receivers, even if that meant Malik Heath maybe wasn't going to play. But they decided to go with only 4 defensive tackles, and really 3 of those guys, Wyatt, Brooks, and Wooden, played a ton in the game. We'll talk more about them momentarily, but those were your other 3 inactives, Sims, Jennings, and Brinson, to go along with Baron Sorrell, Zane Anderson, and Nate Hobbs. All right, let's start with the Green Bay Packers defense on this one. As I talked about, the ability to do some bend but don't break defense. I know sometimes it gets a little bit frustrating because you'll see those underneath completions. Go back and rewatch this one if you have the chance and see how many times Jared Goff was trying to hit something down the field and everything was covered up. And I mean, everything was covered up. And you can see him check down after 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 check down, time and time and time again. There was not the ability to get anything going downfield, and they stopped the run. And so, yes, there are going to be some checkdowns from time to time. You're going to pick up some first downs from time to time. But once you get in that red zone area and the field condenses, you don't have to worry about the deep routes anymore. Now your safeties, your linebackers, your corners are all going to be a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more up towards the line of scrimmage. They don't have to cover as much field. And now everything condenses. You're still stopping the run. And now some of those checkdowns aren't there either. You can get off the field, hold teams to field goals, and that's exactly what Green Bay did. 2 field goals and an interception in those first 3 red zone drives. That's all you can ask for. Some, you know, clock is going to, you know, run off, and it's going to give some time of possession advantages in those situations. You will live with the results here if Green Bay's defense can consistently do that. And I don't think, by the way, that it's something that's going to constantly need to happen. They'll get their 3 and outs and they'll get some punts. Detroit's a good team. I mean, that weapon group, Amon Ross St. Brown, Jameson Williams, you know, Laporta, Gibbs, Montgomery, that's a really good weapon group. And Green Bay held them in check all day long. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs had 10 catches and he was in the 30s for yards, like 33 yards, 35 yards, something like that. He couldn't get anything going after the catch. The Packers defense, with their tackling and their speed and their flowing to the football, really took all of those short checkdowns and kept them as short checkdowns. That's what you have to worry about. I talked in the post-game show in the Falcons game. You know, Bijan Robinson catches a little bit or a little pass in the flat, makes one person miss, takes it the rest of the way for a touchdown. Those are the things that talented playmakers can do, and Green Bay's defense had none of it. They rallied to everyone. They made the tackles when they needed to, and Detroit could not get anything. I mean, anything going after the catch. So great bend but don't break, phenomenal red zone defense, great rallying and tackling. And then, of course, we can talk about some individual players as well. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it is good to be right. Now, week 1 is already in the books, and now we're on to week 2 as Green Bay immediately plays on Thursday Night Football. Now, I've got a big performance for Josh Jacobs in this one and might be keeping an eye on a touchdown for Tucker Kraft as well. I'm also looking for Patrick Mahomes to bounce back in a huge way this week. Now, Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. One of the reasons I enjoy Prize Picks so much is flex play, which means you can still cash out if your lineup isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks does not hit. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget to use that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. What's going on, everybody? We finally made it to football season, and that means it's grilling season as well. There's nothing like a lineup of delicious burgers and steaks to enhance your game day experience. That's why this year I did not mess around, and I went right to Omaha Steaks for their amazingly tender meat for this upcoming weekend. I am legitimately drooling over them already. I've had Omaha Steaks on numerous occasions, and there's nothing better to throw on the grill than their USDA certified tender steaks that are melt in your mouth delicious. And the best part is they are currently having a huge sale, so you can save site-wide on omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an additional $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. Trust me, take them up on this offer, use the code, and get some of their grass-fed, grain-finished beef, and just wait until you see the marbling on these things. You are going to be blown away. So get fired up for fall grilling with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. That's an extra $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. See site for details. Let's start with Micah Parsons. Despite not playing anywhere near a full battery of snaps on the day, despite not being 100%, despite just coming to Green Bay a little over a week ago, Micah Parsons still had a massive impact in this game. There's a pressure that led to a LVN and Rashawn Gary split sack. There was a pressure that led to Evan Williams' interception. There was an actual sack, that was unbelievable. One of the moments of the year so far. And he actually had another one that I don't think he got credit for, but he forced the pocket on another play as well. Impact. I talked about it when I did my deep dive on Parsons. When he went through and watch the play-by-play, every single play of his, it was almost like you were just anticipating he was going to wreck something on every play. I'll be honest, watching in the press box, it was really difficult to take my eyes off of Micah Parsons anytime he was in the game. Like, I just wanted to keep watching him. And the pressures that he got, for the most part, were on Penei Sewell, one of the best offensive tackles in all of football. Imagine Micah Parsons gets more snaps, is healthier, is more ingrained in the defense, and the opposing offense doesn't have Penei freaking Sewell to try to slow him down. It's going to be epic, guys. It is going to be beyond epic. I talked about this in the live post game. We talked about it last week as well, but it's just like a pitcher in baseball where now you've got your ace, and now your guy that was one before is now your second's now your third, your fourth. Having Parsons there, and then Rashawn be that next pass rusher, and then LVN, and then Devontae Wyatt, and like just everything kind of clicks into place on that defensive front. I thought they used some really unique and fun fronts, and we're just scratching the surface of what Jeff Hafley is going to be able to do with Micah Parsons in this defense. You should be very, very excited. That is as advertised for Micah Parsons. That's as good as you could probably hope for, given the set of circumstances and the situation that he was in. It was exactly what you wanted. And the moment where he gets the sack, made even better, by the way, that it was a chase down. Because I think the first thing is, for maybe some people who are not as familiar with Micah Parsons, maybe have an idea of how he plays, they're aware he's a great player, but don't really get to see, maybe haven't studied him as a Dallas Cowboy or anything like that. Talk about the perfect way to intro him to your new team. Because he gets doubled early on and then kind of splits the double, or the tackle goes and kind of blocks somebody else, but he gets off his block. That moment he gets off the block, the acceleration in that moment to just beeline to the quarterback, and then everyone in the stadium, everyone at home could tell, oh, he's going to chase down Jared Goff, except for Jared Goff. Jared Goff was the only one that didn't know it. And to see that happen and have the anticipation of it and just know he's going to get a sack. Boom, gets the sack. And the whole crowd is just going bananas at that point. What an unbelievable moment. Cool for him to get to come out of the tunnel last as well. Good choice there by Matt LaFleur, and a really fun day from Micah Parsons. And that really led as well to, I think, even better days than normal for Rashawn Gary and LVN. I mean, you could just see on one of Rashawn's sacks, like, I forget if it was a sack or tackle. It was a sack, I'm pretty sure. He's working one-on-one. I think it was against Decker on the play. And he just didn't get those chances. He would be you know, so many times chipped or helped when there was no Micah Parsons there. And now Mike is getting that attention and Rashawn Gary's getting one-on-ones. It is going to pay off huge for Rashawn Gary. And it did already with 1.5 sacks in this particular game. I thought LVN looked really good. And if you haven't had the chance yet, I posted it on Twitter or I reposted it. Listen to what Micah Parsons has said about LVN. He is like head over heels about what LVN brings to this team in his short time here. He's freaking out about it. That was a great game from LVN. It was a great game. And I'm excited to see if he can continue that because, oh my goodness, now, you know, that pressure look, if you've got, and Wyatt playing the way he did, if you've got LVN kicking inside, which we saw quite a bit of today, if you get Wyatt and LVN on the inside with Parsons and Gary on the outside, whew, that looked great. I mean, it looked fantastic and fast and disruptive and just all of it. That was really, really fun. I thought that whole defensive front, especially those edge rushers, again, Gary, LVN, Parsons had a huge impact in this game. And then the interior of the defensive line led by Devontae Wyatt and Colby Wooden. My goodness. He understood the assignment. He put on the weight in the offseason and he looked great. I mean, he looked absolutely great. Holding up at the point of attack, shedding blocks, getting into the backfield, multiple tackles. He was a big time player in that game. That we'll talk about a development there. Then this is a great sign again for your draft and develop philosophy, but you need guys to continue to step up like this. If you want to be a Super Bowl contender, it takes, you know, some of these players that maybe you weren't sure what you're going to get playing at a higher level. Colby Wooden today showed that he has a whole different level that he is able to get to that we did not see early on in his career. There were multiple times where we weren't sure if Colby Wooden was going to make the, by the end of it, I knew he was going to make the team. I would have been stunned. He was going to be, well, we knew later he'd be the starter, but we knew he was going to have a rotational role by the end there. But man, I could not have imagined that he was going to be that impactful in this game. Now, we need to see it against other offensive lines. The interior of Detroit's offensive line, we know, has some new players and is still gelling together. So maybe it was just advantage Green Bay, but what a promising start for that interior of the defensive line. And then Quay and Cooper, my goodness, just flying. And I mean flying all over the field. Tackles for loss, tackles at the line of scrimmage, immediately getting to Jahmyr Gibbs. There's a reason Jahmyr Gibbs was averaging just a little over 3 yards per reception on 10 receptions. It's because as soon as he caught it, those linebackers were all over him. That was a great game from Quay, other than the dropped interception that he had the opportunity to get. It was a great game from Edgerrin Cooper. I'll reserve some judgment until I see the All-22, but man, at first glance and in the rewatch, they both stood out to me. I thought there was nothing doing on that second level. And this is where it gets a little bit scary for, I think, opposing offenses. Xavier McKinney and those safeties and defensive backs are shutting down everything long. And then they did a great job up front of not only stopping the run, but also getting good pressure on the quarterback. So you can't get long. You can't run the ball. The quarterback's getting pressured. And so the only thing that you kind of have sometimes are those checkdowns and those, you know, maybe short intermediate passes over the middle. And now even when you do check those down, Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper are just there to immediately meet you. It's a fun defense right now. We saw that in this game. And again, I credit to Jeff Hafley, but credit to the players for going out there too and executing in this one. And then I thought the secondary, it was a team performance in the secondary. Amon-Ra St. Brown, only 4 for 45. Jameson Williams, only 4 for 23. Khalif Raymond, only 2 for 16. And then Tesla was that one touchdown at the end in garbage time. Their totals as an entire wide receiver core, 11 catches on 15 targets for 97 yards and a touchdown. That's their entire wide receiver room. Under 100 yards combined. Big time stuff. I know that it's a little bit of a no-name cornerback room to some, and there's some real concern and trepidation about what that corner room would be able to do. That's all they do. They go out and perform. Communication's fantastic. The zone defense has been amazing. They know what they're doing. They know how to cover these guys. They know how to cover spots and they know how to get to, you know, eyes on the ball and make plays. And we saw that from Evan Williams as well. Just a phenomenal performance all the way around from the Packers defense. Offensively, I thought Jordan Love was in entire control of the game, made multiple big time throws, including the big throw down to Romeo Doubs. Thought he had a couple misses. He had that miss early. I think it was Tucker Kraft down the left sideline, overthrew him, just overcooked it a little bit. You know, had the throw to Jaden Reed over the middle off of a play action where he was a little bit behind him and it fell incomplete. And then the two interception worthy plays. There was a hold on the one that brought it back. The other one, the linebacker just dropped it. Would have liked to have seen or not seen those, I guess I should say, or, you know, just seeing him maybe take a little bit better the ball in those situations. But I thought overall it was a really good day for Jordan. The run game was maybe the one thing that you would have liked to have seen a little bit better. They just couldn't quite get that run game going to the level that they wanted to. It led to a three and out as they ran three consecutive times. The first two runs were good, just that third and one, third and inches, they just couldn't convert and ultimately had to get off the field and punt the ball away. I thought the run game got better as time went on and at the end of the game, and Josh Jacobs got his touchdown, but would have liked to have seen them be a little bit more impactful. I think they will be. Usually that offensive line takes a little bit of time to gel together and kind of fit the pieces, and Green Bay had some injuries, as we mentioned, along that offensive line as well, and so that maybe played a factor, but I would like to see that run game just be a smidge more effective, but again, that's a pretty nitpicky thing in a game where they dominated from beginning to end. Thought the offensive line was great in pass pro, a little bit, again, more iffy in run blocking. Matthew Golden came up with a couple of nice catches. It was good to see him out there. Also got some time in punt return duty. Romeo Doubs, awesome to see him get that big play down the field. I called the shot. My shot play, I said, was going to be a deep post. I just said it was going to be to Golden. They ran it to Romeo. Either way, they pulled it off and it worked, and I'll gladly take it. Jaden Reed didn't really show a ton of signs of the foot injury. He came up with some big catches, including the touchdown play on the two-play drive for the touchdown. Really good stuff from Jaden in this one. And he seemed to still be, somebody that they could count on when need be. And he didn't seem to have a ton of lingering issues from that foot injury. Tucker Kraft, beautiful touchdown on that opening drive. And I just think we're starting to scratch the surface as well with Tucker Kraft. He had that post or corner route, I should say, where Jordan just missed him early in the game. But there's even more possibilities there, I thought, for Tucker Kraft. There were a couple times where Jordan maybe chose a ball down the field rather than hitting a open Tucker Kraft. Some of those I think he'd probably like to have back. But again, I'll take that day from Jordan. And for Kraft, I think there's even more out there for him moving forward. And we saw in this game just a ton of spreading the ball around on offense. I mean, just everyone. There was like eight different receivers on like the opening drive. Or it was not the opening drive. It was the first quarter. I forget which one it was. But we saw a ton of different pieces get involved in this game. I mean, Kraft and Fitzpatrick and Musgrave and all the wide receivers and the running backs. It was by committee. And there's certainly some players who played more, but we saw a little bit of all those players get out there and have an opportunity during the course of the game. That's exactly what you want it to be. It's exactly what you want it to be. Now, if they get into some must-have situations, we'll see where Jordan eventually goes. But for now, very, very happy with the way that he spread the ball around and just made it completely unpredictable for Detroit's defense. As far as special teams goes, Whelan and McManus both had great days. Thought the coverage was really good, both on punt coverage and kick coverage. Interesting that Matthew Golden got some time as punt returner, as well as Jaden Reed. Savion Williams, Bo Melton were back there as kick returners. Savion, I thought maybe a couple of the reads were maybe not quite as good, but overall, I'm interested to see what he can do as a returner. I am wondering if we get maybe a little, once maybe Hobbs comes back, if we get a little bit more Keyshawn Nixon as a returner as well. And then punt return, I liked Golden. I said there were times in camp where he didn't look super natural doing it. I thought he looked really natural today. There was the one that he let bounce. There was a penalty on the play, but he let it bounce and it almost hits Bo Melton. That he has to be a little bit better on, but I still feel good about what Matthew Golden brought to the table and have no issue with him being back there. I know some people are like, I don't want Golden back there. He's too important. No, he's a great player, and you want your great players with the ball in their hands, and getting the ball in his hands on a punt return is certainly another way to do that. We'll be right back. If you go without the holding calls, had a couple holding calls, you'd like to get that cleaned up. It felt very ominous at the very first play of the game where you get the nice kick return and then all of a sudden there's immediately a holding penalty. It's like, oh, here we go. We're officially back. It's Packer season again. But outside of the two holding penalties, I thought the special teams played very, very well. Nick Neiman, 4 special teams tackles. And then you had Chris Brooks with 3 special teams tackles. Let's get to some miscellaneous notes in this one. Loved, again, the fast start from Green Bay. There was no hesitation, no trepidation. The energy was incredible. From the opening moment, right away on offense, they go down, they drive down, score the touchdown. The offense is all pumped up. Jordan Love's freaking out. I've never, you know, you don't really see him get too emotional after plays. He's pretty even keel, but he was excited. And then the defense comes out, they get the big stop right away. That was some of the best energy that I've seen from this team in a really long time. And it's not like they've been a bad team or anything, right? They're a good team for a while now, but that was impressive what they did early in that game. Also, it's worth noting that was a really impressive performance against a really good team. And you had no Christian Watson, no Nate Hobbs, and a partial Micah Parsons that's still learning the playbook. There is still a lot of room for growth from this. Players that didn't play or didn't play a lot will play more in future games, right? And later in the season, at least with Christian Watson. And if there's any team that you felt like maybe left a little bit still on the bone, it's not Detroit, it's Green Bay. They could have connected on a couple more of those passes. They could have had that Quay Walker interception. It felt like Green Bay was closer to even doing better than Detroit was to closing the gap on it. That's a scary thing to think about. Javon Bullard was the base safety. I talked about that in the live postgame show, and we've talked about this before, but it makes sense. Javon Bullard is a really good run defending safety. He comes down from that too high safety look and plays the run incredibly well. So if you're going to try to stay in too high safety and you're going to go in base defense, you want a safety that has the ability to come down from that too high safety and really crash the run game and fill the gap and make the stops when need be. And Bullard is really, really good at that. So it made all the sense in the world. Now, in the second half, it was Evan Williams. You might say, well, why was it Evan in the second half then? Because they're up by 11. Detroit's more likely to pass the ball. So you want your better pass defending safety out there, which is Evan Williams. These are the type of platoons and things that Jeff Hafley thinks of that I appreciate so freaking much. So many teams are just like, well, Evan's our starter, so Evan's going to be out there. No, it doesn't need to be that way. If somebody's better at something than another player, even if it's in a small portion of the game, you know, just base defense, run defense, if you're in base and it's a more likely run situation, I would rather have Javon Bullard out there than Evan Williams. And Green Bay agreed today. That's what they did, and I think it was a really smart move by Jeff Hafley. We saw Jordan Morgan rotate, but not at left tackle. It was at right guard, which was an interesting dynamic. I thought he would for sure rotate somewhere, but I very much thought it would be with Rashid Walker. It was not. It was with Sean Ryan. And then also he played left guard a little bit later when Aaron Banks went down with that injury. Darian Kennard. Last week, I graded every play of Micah Parsons, and I wanted to see, like, all right, of all their additions, how did they grade? For all the subtractions, where did they grade? And in order to do so, after grading Parsons, I had to go out and grade Nick Neiman, and I also had to go out and grade Darian Kennard. I'm so happy I did, because I was really impressed with Darian Kennard in his time with Philadelphia. He didn't get a ton of time. It was less than 100 snaps. It was like the 80s or 90s. But when he did play, I thought he looked really good. And I thought he looked like at worst, replacement level, you know, starter or depth piece along your offensive line. And I thought he came in today and there was no drop off. I thought he came in and performed very admirably at right tackle. And it's noteworthy that he was in there over Anthony Belton and Jordan Morgan at that time. They had both those players available, but they gave Kennard the opportunity at right tackle. He paid it off. I thought he played well at first glance. McDuffie was the 4-3 linebacker over Hopper. Hopper did get in on one drive. I think it was just one play, but it was McDuffie primarily as the 4-3 linebacker. Josh Jacobs deserves some credit in pass pro. He had a couple of big blitz pickups in this one. And for somebody who does not usually do that very well, I don't know if he spent some time working on it, but I thought he was much better in today's game in pass pro. A lot of Lions fans in the stadium. We've talked about it. Just have to be getting used to it a little bit, unfortunately. High ticket prices mean that a lot of those tickets are going to go more on, for the sales sites. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Just is what it is. And when that happens, you're going to get, you know, people from out of state that want to see their team play in Lambeau Field. It's a destination. You would do the exact same thing if you were in their shoes, right? And there's going to be plenty of tickets available for sale every single game. It's a bummer. I wish it was packed with all Packers fans, but it just is the modern NFL and what you have to kind of deal with. Helps Green Bay on the road in numerous different stadiums, right? Packers fans travel very, very well, but now we're starting to see more and more fans from opposing teams come to Green Bay, get that experience, be there. And it does create a unique atmosphere sometimes. There's a lot of Lions fans at this one. I thought this game proved that there are multiple ways for Green Bay to win. You know, they got the turnover in this one, but it wasn't like they were reliant on turnovers. They were able to get stops when they needed to get stops. They played good offense. They played efficient. It just showed that if you need to grind games out, they can probably do it. If they need to put points up, they can probably do it. If they need to get those big stops, they can probably do it. If they need turnovers, well, they can probably do that as well. Just gives Green Bay a variety of different ways to win games. And I thought we saw that all throughout this game against Detroit. Then last but not least, actually a couple things really quick. LVN's very first start since high school. That's pretty amazing. He does get the start at defensive end over Micah Parsons, as Micah Parsons was mostly in on primary passing downs and in third down situations, things like that. And then Mike McCarthy back in Green Bay. They celebrated the 2010 team of all the alumni that were there. Cool to see that 2010 team get their flowers and Mike McCarthy to be back at Lambeau Field. We've got Vikings-Bears, Monday Night Football. It's going to be a fun one to watch. Caleb Williams, J.J. McCarthy, how do they perform? New offense. We saw Detroit was not very good offensively without Ben Johnson. Was he the mastermind? Is he going to take that to Chicago? Can he run something similar with Caleb Williams? We're about to find out. Should be a fun Monday Night Football matchup. Thursday Night Football, Packers-Commanders. We are back 3 days away as you're listening to this. It feels crazy. Packers open as 3.5-point favorites. Of course, we'll have you covered, breaking down every aspect of that game, even on short week, going into Green Bay, Washington. This upcoming Thursday should be a epic matchup. Both teams at 1-0. Washington cruised pretty easily past the Giants, and Green Bay cruised very easily against the Detroit Lions. So this is going to be a very fun matchup. And again, Packers open as 3.5-point favorites. Thought it was an unbelievable slate of games from really Thursday night, Friday night. And then, you know, Jets-Steelers was really fun. The Falcons-Buccaneers ending was really fun in the noon slate. Then you got the Packer game. Then Sunday Night Football. I mean, my goodness, 41-40, epic comeback. Man, football is back, better than ever. It's a wonderful time of year. It is a wonderful, wonderful time of year. Just beautiful to have football back in our lives. No questions about it. What did we learn? I think we learned that this team has a very high upside. It's a long season. They can easily get humbled on Thursday if they're not ready for that game. And as awesome as we feel coming off a win against Detroit, if they go Thursday and just immediately lose to Washington at Lambeau, it's going to feel a little bit more hollow. And there'll be a few more questions. This is another big game coming up right away. It's a long season, but I think they showed to the entire world what this team is capable of, even if they're not a fully functioned, complete 100% team yet. There are still so many signs of what's to come for this young core. They are still the youngest team in football, and they're playing at an incredibly high level right out of the gate in week one. This is going to be a fun team to watch for the foreseeable future, and certainly during this 2025 campaign. That is going to do it for me today. What a victory for Green Bay. Hope you guys enjoyed the hell out of it. Hope you enjoyed today's show. If you did, again, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, and give those 5-star reviews. We will be back tomorrow with an all-new episode. I will have a members Q&A live today. Our week is a little bit out of order this week because of a couple different things. Mike Wall is going to be joining me on Wednesday instead of Monday. I believe Justice will be joining me for tomorrow's show, so make sure to check that out as well. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carl Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Gonzusa, Alexander Newell, Dan Miller, and Titletown T. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.